Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub gets to the heart of the gospel.
Warning number one, the world will reject your true identity. Warning number two, the world will attack your love for God. Let me give you a third warning. Pay careful attention to this one. You'll see it. The world that we live in, warning number three, fuels your love for self. Warning number three, the world we live in fuels your love for self.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Our world is being torn in two by a spiritual war, one that no one can escape. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff teaches that whether or not we see it, believe it, or want to be a part of it, our lives are advancing one of two sides, Kingdom of God or the forces of Satan. We're continuing a series about what it looks like to live out our calling together as a Christian community called Better Together. As we go through this study, keep in mind you can always find these daily programs and catch on things you may have missed on the radio by visiting bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with part two of an eye-opening message titled Global Warning.
In today's text that we're going to look at, John is going to issue four warnings to the entire world, to all Christians that we would be aware of so that we could heed those and put them into practice. And so I encourage you to open your Bible up this morning to the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17 and take a look at four warnings that John is going to highlight for us as believers that we need to embrace and own as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this text to us, and then let me unpack it with you. He says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, in these short verses, John is going to highlight four warnings to us that we need to be aware of in the world in which we live. And the first one is this, that the world that we live in, this world rejects your true identity. The world rejects your true identity. Christians, listen to me. If you believed in Jesus Christ, you are daughters and sons of the King. It is who you are. It is your identity. Quit listening to the liar, the enemy, who tells you you just have to live out in the back 40. You just have to do it this way. Just get through life. Have your average junkie marriage. Have your average junkie life. And that's just all you're ever going to be. That is not what God's word says. Because of the cross of Christ, you've been completely cleansed. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. He loves you unconditionally. You can know him, and you can start fresh with him today, no matter who you are, no matter where you at. That's why John's saying, warning, the world will tell you, be average and be a victim. Jesus says, no, you're my son or my daughter, and I'm the conquering king, and everybody that knows me lives for me. See, here's the problem. If you don't do this, what happens is you end up wearing a mask. And the mask is this, you wear a mask of happy. Even when you come into church, people ask you how you're doing. Great. I'm great. How are you? Great. You ever notice how many great people there are on Sunday mornings? Everybody's great, right? Whether they are or not, they're great because they got a mask, right? Or they wear the mask of success, like I'm super successful, aren't? Don't you wish you were me? You have to wear a mask so that other people will appreciate you when inside what you really feel is angry, frustrated, fearful, despair, all those things. But if you walk in the light, and you know that you're forgiven, and you know that Jesus loves you, and you have an ongoing relationship with him, and he says, no matter what you've done, you're still my daughter. No matter what you've done, you're still my boy, and I got great things for you. You're an overcomer. You're strong, and the word of God abides in you. Then you don't need to wear the mask anymore, because what you're telling people is not I'm strong, but Christ in me, the hope of glory, is, and I'm standing right with my dad. Isn't that good news this morning? That's our identity. That's our identity. That's who we are. That's who every single Christian on the planet is. And the world warning rejects your true identity. Let me give you a second warning from 1 John. A second warning is not only that the world rejects your true identity, the world attacks your love for God. The world attacks your love for God. Notice what John says. Do not, here's the warning, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that may be a little bit confusing because you're like, well, I live in the world. So let's talk about the word world. World can be about three different things. It can be the created world that we live in, the planet that we're on. That's the world. That's how it's used. It can also be used of humankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So there's this humanity that God loves. That's his world. But world is also used as the invisible spiritual system that's opposed to God. That's what the world is. It's talking about that invisible spiritual system opposed to God. When John describes the world, he's talking about the evil system that opposes God on everything that goes on. And here's what he says. So don't love the world. Don't love this world system. And here's why you shouldn't love it, nor should you love any of the things in the world system, because if anyone loves the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. And what the Bible makes crystal clear is that when we're born in the domain of darkness. There are two domains. There is Satan's kingdom, and there is Jesus's kingdom. And they don't intermingle. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not really in either kingdom. There's no such thing as a spiritual Switzerland. Like you don't get to remain neutral. Like, I'm not really part of Jesus. I'm not really part of the devil's kingdom. Listen, if you're not on team Jesus, you're in Satan's kingdom. And moreover, he's using you for his purposes. That's what the Bible teaches. Satan always uses his people for his purposes. He's not indifferent to his people. He's constantly using them. And I'll give you scriptural support for it. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, you'll see that that's true of every single person that's born on the planet. It says, and when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Well, when is that? When you were conceived. You were conceived spiritually dead because your parents passed you their sinful DNA. So you weren't made alive. You must be born again. So we're all born dead. We're all born in darkness. And so notice verse 2. And that is in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, or the path of this world, or the evil system of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan himself, the spirit of that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. Whose world system is it? Satan. What is he doing? He's taking everybody that's part of his system to promote his agenda. And what's his agenda? You. Promote you. Promote individuals. Take the glory off of God and make it about you. That is our world's system. And the Bible says there are two roads. There's a wide one and a narrow one. And the majority of people in the world are on the wide road, all about self, heading straight to hell. And then there's a narrow gate, a small gate, and a narrow road that goes to life, and very few find it, right? And that's why he's saying, don't love the world. And don't love the things in the world. And don't love the world system. Because if you love those things, God's love is not abiding in you. Christ is not walking with you because Christ is not walking down the wide road. Christ is on the narrow road. So walk with him. That's where your strength comes from. Does that make sense? That's why he goes on to say, like John in his gospel talks about how what happens when we switch roads. John talks about what happens when we switch kingdoms. Notice what he says in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Okay? If this world system is opposing you, just know it opposed Jesus Christ too. Notice this, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Why does the world hate you? Because Jesus Christ selected you out of the kingdom of darkness and brought you into his kingdom, the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom you have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. It's the kingdom of light. And when you're in that system going this way, that former world system that you thought loved you so much, they may not love you so much anymore. Because when people are heading headlong into self and selfishness and hell, and you reverse ship and you repent and you start following after Jesus, you may find that a lot of the people you hung out with before, they don't like you anymore because you're not going their way anymore. A number of you can talk about stories about how, I used to party with all this group of people. Now that I'm a Christian, I don't party anymore. And I thought I could hang out with those people, but they won't have anything to do with me anymore. I thought I was really tight with my family until I started talking about Jesus all the time and how they needed to trust him. Now my family doesn't talk to me anymore because I'm going down this road. I thought things at work would get better because now I'm a Christian and I was just sharing the love of Jesus with them. And now all those people are telling me I'm crazy for believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Right? But if you were of the world, it would love you as its own. Which begs the question, does the world system love you? I mean, if you hung out with just an average person that doesn't love Jesus, would they be like, dude, it's so awesome to hang out with you? I mean, we have the same values. We're all pretty much the same. I mean, you say you believe in Jesus, and I don't say that. But other than that, we're exactly the same. All right, if you're living like that, let me tell you what you don't have. You don't have the Spirit of God abiding on the inside of your life. You're not strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Because the stronger you grow in Jesus, the more you will see how this world system opposes everything that God is trying to accomplish. I mean, just think about it for a second. Think about our movies. I mean, if you take your Bible, if you know your Bible pretty well, and you lay it down next to the movie scripts that are being written in Hollywood, and there's the Bible, and here's the movie script, would you say that a majority or minority of movies that are being written would say, oh, that is exactly what the Word of God says? That's exactly what God values. Majority or minority? Minority, right? Why? Because Satan's servants are writing the movies for the most part. You listen to music on the radio, if you know your Bible, would you say, yep, that really aligns. That's exactly what God says. Or would you say that's exactly opposite of what God says? Most songs are opposite of what God says. Why? Because Satan's servants, for the most part, are the ones that are writing them and producing them, right? I mean, think about it for a second. That's why we need to take the time to pause and see what we're feeding our minds so that we know whether or not we're aligning with God. Why? Because the world's going to reject your identity, and then it's going to attack your love for God. So you start aligning your life with this book, you start going the way God says, and the world will say this about you: you've lost your mind. You are crazy. Like, why are you going that way? Well, here's why: because that's who I am, and that's my true identity. And if I understand my identity, then I know who I am. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for I'm a citizen of heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly await a glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? Much like I would say, if I pulled out my wallet this morning and showed you my ID, it would say I'm a citizen of the state of Colorado. And if I showed you my passport, it would say I'm a citizen of the United States. But what's even more true about me is that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus Christ is my King and my Lord, and he's coming soon, and that's where I'm aligning my life first and foremost. That's what he's saying. And see, if I don't get my identity that I'm forgiven and that I have an ongoing relationship with God and that I'm strong in his word and he abides in me, I'm more than a conqueror, I'll forget to live that out. Because everything in the world from the time I get up until the time I go to bed tells me, hey, just live for you. Hey, just take easy street. Hey, who cares about all that hard stuff? Why go through trials and tribulations? Just enjoy life. Make it about now. Make it about you, right? I need to be reminded of my identity, and I need to recognize that from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed, I wasn't created for the world that we're in. It's kind of like this. Many of you have gone scuba diving before. The reason that you get special equipment when you go scuba diving is our bodies were not made to live underwater for a long period of time. I'm sure you may be able to hold your breath for a period of time. Some may be longer than others. But if you're going to go down for a half an hour, 45 minutes, you're going to need a tank. You're going to need someone, you're going to need a breathing apparatus. You're going to need someone that's doing the breathing for you so that you can navigate through the waters that you don't belong in and enjoy the waters and make it through the waters because of the special equipment that you've been given. We live in a world that's antithetical to God, and yet what has he done? He's given us special equipment to make it through. He not only gives us his word to show us the direction to go, but when we trust in Jesus, we get the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside, who is our special equipment, who helps us navigate through every single part of the world. That's why when we read scriptures like, be in the world but not of the world, that's how we can do it, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's kind of like if we're in a boat, be in the water, not of the water, right? I mean, we have special equipment to navigate through that nobody else has. The Holy Spirit can guide us through this world that is opposed to God in every way, and yet allow us to live for God because of the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. Amen? Warning number one, the world will reject your true identity. Warning number two, the world will attack your love for God. Let me give you a third warning. Pay careful attention to this one. You'll see it. The world that we live in, warning number three, fuels your love for self. Warning number three, the world we live in fuels your love for self. Notice what he says in verse 16. For all that is in the world, don't miss that word, all. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible says all. That means everything. For all that is in the world, all that is in that system, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. All the things in the world. It talks about three specific things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So let's talk about what those three things are. How does that fuel love for yourself? How does that fuel love for self? One is the lust of the flesh. Our flesh, oftentimes in the Bible, is talked about our sinful nature. Now, Jesus had flesh. What made Jesus Christ different than us is he was sinless. So he had flesh like us, but his flesh was not stained with sin. It's why he was born of a virgin. It's why he died on the cross and fulfilled God's promise to do so. It's why he satisfied God's wrath, because Jesus' flesh didn't have sin. Everybody else's, it's sin-stained flesh. And the lust of the flesh, it just means this. It's an appetite to fulfill something in an ungodly way. That's all it is. It's an appetite that's got to be fulfilled, but I'm going to fulfill it in an ungodly way. Okay? It's not just like an appetite, like I need to eat. It means I'm going to eat the way I want to eat, or I'm not going to eat the way I don't want to eat. I'm going to satisfy my appetite in my way. Sexual appetite. God gives sexual desires. But a sexual appetite, a lustful sexual appetite, is something outside of the container that God gives, which is marriage. God says that desire can be filled in one way and one way only, between a husband and a wife in marriage. Anything that falls outside of that is sinful. That's why 100% of the people that have ever lived on this planet that have tried to fulfill a sexual appetite outside of the bonds of marriage between a husband and a woman have always experienced pain, because it's sinful, right? Appetite just means I see it. I got to have that. I'm going to fulfill what I need. I got needs. I'm going to fulfill them. Does the world say that you have needs? Do advertisers tell you that you have needs? Does it tell you that it's your way right away? Does it tell you how to feed your needs and how to do it cheaply and how to do it quickly and how to get it efficiently? That's what goes on. That's your appetite. That's the lust of the flesh. How about this one? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. What's the lust of the eyes? The lust of the eyes is when I see something and it looks desirable and I'm not going to ask God what he thinks about it. I'm just taking it. It means I'm going to act without faith and obedience. It means, God, I'm not going to ask what you have to say about this. God, I don't care what you have to say about this. It looks good to me. I can make a decision on my own. I'm old enough to figure this one out for myself. I've made decisions like this 300 times before. I'm not praying about that. I can just see, looks good. I can take it. I'll be the own judge of everything. If it looks good for me, I'm taking it. I'll decide what I want when I want it. That's the lust of the eyes. We see it, we want it, we take it, right? That's the lust of the eyes. And then how about this final one? It's called the boastful pride of life. The boastful pride of life. Boastful pride of life is when I do these things that I'm doing, when I fulfill my lustful appetites in my flesh, when I fulfill the lust of my eyes, guess what? I'm looking good. This is going to make me feel good. This is going to let other people know that I'm good. It's going to make me look awesome. It's going to make me feel awesome. It's going to set me up even higher than what I already think of myself. It's the pride of life. Now, by show of hands, how many feel like you've fallen prey to these three things before? Just by show of hands. Keep them up if it's more than once. Good. A lot of honesty here today. Great. Because we all have, Right? We all have. We've all tried to fulfill our appetites. And what we have going on is the enemy lying to us while we're seeing something that could be an appetite. And he's like, go ahead, take it. Looks good for you. Hey, think about if you take that, how good it's going to be. Think about what your friends at work are going to say. Think about what your people are going to say. Man, you can handle this. You can do this. I mean, you ever heard that voice before? That's the voice of the enemy, because he wants you to live out the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He loves nothing more than when you're prideful. He loves nothing more than when you're thinking about you. And how long has this been going on? I would argue since the very, very beginning. Since the first couple in the Bible. I mean, God created a perfect world. He said everything was good. And after he created man and woman, he said it's very good. God gave us everything we need. God did everything perfect. God set up the world just as he needed to set it up. And what happens in Genesis chapter 3? There's a serpent that starts talking to Eve and telling her exactly opposite of everything that God just told her. And when we get down to verse 6, we see all three of these things in play. We see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice Genesis 3, 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what'd you see? It's appetizing. Looks yummy to me. I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, God said we could eat off any tree in the garden, any tree in the world, as a matter of fact. Just don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I don't know why we couldn't do that, because, I mean, it looks good. I mean, it looks fulfilling to me. I mean, it seems to be all right. Lust of the flesh, I have an appetite for that fruit. Then what do you see? And that it was a delight to the eyes. It was a delight to the eyes. Eve sees it and she's like, yeah, it looks good to me. I don't understand all this nonsense that God's talking about, it being bad. I mean, it fills me up and it looks good. What Satan's telling me must be true. And then how about number 3, the boastful pride of life? Do we see it? Notice this. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Satan told her what? If you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the reason God doesn't want you to eat off of it is you'll be like God, you'll know both good and evil. And what's Eve saying? Looks good to eat. Looks good to my eyes. I can take that. And by the way, if I take it, right now I only know good. I only know how to do right all the time. I only know how to honor God and my husband all the time. That's all I know how to do. But when I eat that, I'll be like God. I'll know both good. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be awesome. I'll be like God. She sees all three. She does all three. The next part of the verse says she takes it and she, what? Eats it. And the whole world goes, no. Oh, but that's not enough. You know what the next part of the verse says? And she shared some with her husband who was standing right there with her. So what's Adam doing? Yeah, looks good to me too. It looks good to my eyes, and we're gonna be both like gods. Give me some, don't hog it. Right? That's what's going on. Did they understand then both good and evil? Oh, you bet they did. Do you think we understand good and evil today? Oh, you bet we do. I mean, we don't even sometimes know the difference between the two anymore. Why? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Adam and Eve fall, and sin enters the world.
And for as long as we live, we too will face the same temptations and lies from Satan. Thank God for the grace and power he's given us through Jesus Christ. You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and the second part of a timely message titled Global Warning. It's a lesson from our current series, Better Together, on what it looks like to live in communion with God and each other. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast or you'd like to hear more messages from Pastor Jeff, visit bravemedia.online. If you found these daily Bible teachings helpful in your own walk of faith, we invite you to help us continue sharing these gospel messages with new listeners by supporting this ministry with a one-time donation of any amount. You can give your financial gift today with just the touch of a button by going to bravemedia.online and clicking the Donate tab. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, you can do that too. Write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Now, before we close today's program, we invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're listening anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit in person this Sunday at our campus in Englewood or our other campus in Westminster. And of course, no matter where you're listening from, you can stream our services online. For more details on weekend services, go to bravemedia.online. At the bottom of our homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have further questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, he'd love to hear from you. email hello@bravechurch.co. I'm Bill Carl. We'll see you again tomorrow when Pastor Jeff concludes his urgent message to the Christian community titled Global Warning. That's coming up Thursday, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.